It is 1:33. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we saw a total of 794 new coronavirus cases, bringing the state's total to 29,733. We also saw an additional 6 hospitalizations for a total of 445. And an additional 8 deaths from COVID-19 recorded in the state for a total there of 331. And yesterday's increase again of 794 new cases was the 4th largest daily increase we have seen since the pandemic began here in Arkansas. That brought the state's total number of active COVID-19 cases to 6,558. That includes 971 inmates of the state's correctional facilities. Now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking from the University of Central Arkansas in Conway. This is KYR.
Today's COVID daily update, and we're delighted to be in Conway, Faulkner County, here at the University of Central Arkansas. And I want to thank UCA for their hospitality, for providing lunch for us today, and also for all of the community members that met with us and talked about all that's happening here, both in terms of K-12 education, what's happening on the college campus, as well as looking at the hospitals and meeting with the administrators in terms of the capacity. So it's been very, very beneficial. And of course, I'm joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Department of Health, Dr. Jose Romero, who will be coming in shortly after that. He'll make some comments today on the Human Development Center here in Conway. And then Congressman French Hill, who is here as well, and I've asked him to make a few comments. And so thank you for joining us. And we have members of your legislative delegation that's here as well that's been very supportive. And thank you, Senator and representatives, for being with us today at lunch as well. I want to thank Mayor Castleberry as well for his leadership here in the city and for passing the model ordinance through this council, of course, and that really gives some protection, some assistance to businesses here in Conway as they encourage wearing of masks that will help reduce the spread of COVID-19. So well done. I also wanted to remark before I go into our testing and our cases that Walmart today made an announcement in which Walmart will be requiring masks for customers that go into the Walmart and Sam's stores across the country. And obviously this will be another step in the direction of education, of making sure that we do everything from a business standpoint, from a personal responsibility standpoint, in protecting others as well as ourselves. Let's first look at the testing. Yesterday we had 5,146 tests that were done in the last 24 hours. And if we'll go to the graph, I think we can see the testing first. And I want to show this because we're doing a lot of work to try to increase the testing in Arkansas. And of course, as I've indicated, it's a challenge with the backlog in the commercial labs. But here you can see the 5,146 test. That was not quite as high as the day before. Our health department labs are doing extraordinary work, but there's still that delay in the commercial labs, and it's having an impact on the number that's coming in. Even though 5,000 is still a very strong number of tests, it doesn't allow us to get to the goal that I've set for the month of July. And then this is the positivity rate, and as you can see, we were too high in our 7-day rolling average for positivity in our test, but the trend line is better, and so we want to see that continue to go down, and we want to stay away from that 10% level. And then let's look at the number of new cases, and let me just stop there for a second. Yesterday we had 29,733 cases in Arkansas. Over the last 24 hours, we have an additional 564 cases. That brings us to 30,297. In terms of hospitalizations, we have 13 additionally hospitalized. That brings us to 458. I'll add on terms of the hospitalizations, I appreciate the three hospitals that we met with today in this area that reported on their cases and their capacity, and I was pleased that they have they're not only doing their regular surgery work and treating their critical care patients, but they're also managing the COVID population, and they're doing it very well, and they are not to the point of capacity, which was good news. I mentioned the deaths. We had four additional deaths. That brings us to 335. If we go back to the cases and you look at the seven-day rolling average, you can see that where this is with the 564 new cases, significantly lower than yesterday, but we've got some work to do to get that top line down more, and 500 is not where we want to be, even though that's a reduction from yesterday. We want those numbers to go down as we get ready for school this fall and as we protect the lives in Arkansas. And then the number of active cases, you can see where that's up over 6,000. We'll see where that goes. We want that. We want more people to recover, which will reduce the number of active cases. And then the number of hospitalized is 450 plus, so we've got to watch that. But that trend line is up, and we've got to have that trend line to come down. And then I wanted to come to Faulkner County. So as we go out into the different parts of the state, we look at the region. And of course, this is the central region of the public health regions in Arkansas. In a moment, I'll show the other counties, but I just wanted to focus on Faulkner County since we're here. And you can see you've done some pretty good work there. You had the peak where it was almost 50 new cases in one day. You've had some days that it was close to 30 new cases. But you've seen the trend line go down, and that's reflective of the central region that we've made some progress here. So again, congratulations, good work, Faulkner County. That doesn't mean you take your mask off, but it means that you recognize the difference it can make when you have strong leadership and the community is focused on reducing the number of cases. And then you'll see the next one, which is for all the different counties in the central region. And so I know that's a ways away for you, but this includes Faulkner County, which is the blue, Perry County, Pulaski County is the green. Of course, that's a population center, and so they're naturally higher, but you also can see a trend line there. Lonoke County, Grant, Saline, and Garland County. And so the one, two that's easy to see, of course, is the top one, which is Pulaski County. And you can see where they reached their peak. They've had a jagged ending, and right now it's looking better there, but you can see that's elevated compared to the other counties. Of course, again, it's a population center. And then the next one is the blue, which is Faulkner County. And again, you see the trend line that we previously indicated. And so that's the central region. We'll leave that up in case Dr. Smith has additional comments on it. Again, it's a privilege to be here in Conway, and thank you for your hospitality again. And with that, I'll give it to Dr. Smith, and then I'll come back and introduce Dr. Romero.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to give a few more details on the numbers and then just share a couple more things COVID-related. The first, though, is of these 564 new cases, 78 of them were in correctional facilities, 486 were in the community. And so our total case count now is 30,297. So we've crossed the 30,000 threshold. Of those, 6,439 are active cases, and of those active cases, 130 are in a nursing home, 979 are in correctional facilities, and 5,330 are active cases in the community. The governor has indicated we did have an increase in hospitalized. Our current hospitalized is now 458. That's a net increase of 13 from yesterday. We have 94 on a ventilator. That's up 3 from yesterday. And we've had 4 additional deaths. So we're at 335 deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas. We have fortunately had 679 recovered since yesterday. So our total recovered is 23,523. And because the number recovered is more over the last 24 hours than the number of new cases, our active cases have actually gone down, which is a good thing. Now, in terms of our top counties, Pulaski County is again our top county with 78 new cases from yesterday. Sebastian County is our second highest at 52, followed by Washington County at 46, and then Benton County at 38, and all the other counties are less than 20 cases since yesterday. In terms of testing, the governor has mentioned we did do 5,146 tests, or I should say we received reports on 5,146 individuals yesterday. And that brings our total for the month to 80,862. We do have a lot of work to catch up to meet our goal. Yesterday, the Arkansas Department of Health, the Public Health Lab, again did over 1,000. We did 1,455. And UAMS did 656, which is an increase, a steady increase for them. So these are all encouraging signs. I want to talk a little bit about Faulkner County and give some numbers that are specific to Faulkner County. We have had in Faulkner County a total of 830 patients, and of those, 226 are active cases. We have had an overall positivity rate in Faulkner County of 6.3%, and that compares favorably to our overall positivity rate for the state, which is 7.6%. We've done a reasonably good job of testing here in Faulkner County. Our rates per 10,000 is 1,038. That is a little less, though, than the state, which is 1,326 per 10,000 people. Now, in terms of where we are now, we currently have 22 hospitalized in Faulkner County. We have 7 currently on a ventilator. And we have had overall 4 deaths in Faulkner County from COVID-19. Fortunately, we've also had 604 who have recovered. Now, this is a younger population at least in this city, and that's reflected in our age distribution for COVID-19 cases. In Faulkner County, 20% of the cases have been in that 18 to 24-year-old age group, compared overall for the state, where it's about 13 to 14%. So these are some of the specifics for Faulkner County. I would like to say that on this graph that the governor showed with the different counties within the central region, I am encouraged that we seem to have some flattening out, particularly in Pulaski County and Faulkner County. I still remain concerned. Each case is important to prevent. On my way here, I happened to have a conversation with a young man who had actually recovered from COVID-19. He had been on a ventilator for 8 days, and I asked him how he was doing, and he said, well, he was happy to be alive, obviously, but was suffering a number of longer-term illnesses, ailments, short-term memory loss, numbness, tingling in the toes, and as we go along, we're getting more information on COVID-19 and the sort of persistent effects. And a recent publication showed that about 90% of those who have been hospitalized for COVID-19 will continue to have some sort of persistent symptoms, even though they've recovered from the infection. And so it's important that we prevent each of these cases. And lastly, I just want to put things in perspective. I was reminded that sometimes the numbers are hard to interpret. The overall number of 30,297, crossing that 30,000 threshold, that seems like a big number. Those of you who are into numbers, though, will quickly point out to me that's only about 1% of the state population, and I would agree with that. If you look at our active cases of 6,439, that's less than 1%. But maybe to put it in a more realistic perspective, this is a communicable disease. It spreads. If you came into your living room and the curtains were on fire, you wouldn't say, well, that's less than 1%. I'm not going to worry about it now. Let's wait till it gets up to 2 or 3%. No, you get after it. The fire is still burning here. We are making some good progress here in central Arkansas, but the fire is still burning, and we can't let up until we put it out. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to the governor.
Dr. Romero has been working very closely with the Human Development Center here in Conway, and we, just like everybody else, wants the family members to be able to have visitation there, and that's not allowed right now, but we want to be able to get there. But give us an update on the cases there, if you don't mind.
This is Dr. Jose Romero, Chief Medical Officer at the Health Department.
Congressman. So as many of you know, the Human Development Center here in Conway is the largest of the human developmental centers in the state. It has approximately 461 residents, and it has a staff of nearly 1,000 individuals. An outbreak occurred over the last month and a half. The staff has been extremely vigilant and has done an exceptional job in bringing this under control. There are currently 87 active cases among the residents and 18 active cases among the staff. It's confined to one of the only seven houses, none of the individuals that have been infected have required mechanical ventilation, and there have been no deaths. The cases were rapidly identified. A quarantine was, again, rapidly instituted and limited the spread of the infection throughout the development center. So my hat's off to the rapid response to this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And yesterday I mentioned the letter that our federal legislative or congressional delegation signed to the Vice President asking for greater national support for our commercial labs, and Congressman French Hill signed that letter, helped put it together, and released it. And I wanted to thank you for being here today here in Faulkner County, but I wanted to ask you to give a report.
This is Congressman French Hill. He's a Republican representing Arkansas's second congressional district in the U.S. House.
Thank you, Dr. Romero and Dr. Smith. Thanks for your steady leadership during these trying 4 months. You know, these masks are an opportunity for a fashion statement. And Arkansas Economic Development Commission is my mask today. And I urge people that masks are critical. It's between us and beating this virus and getting back to work. Governor, I talked to my dad the other day, 94 years old. And I said, you suffered through pretty tough times in the Depression and in World War II. And he said, I hated gas rationing. It happened when I was 16 years old. I was a high school sophomore, and I couldn't drive because I couldn't get gas. Because we said we were going to conserve gas in this country to beat the Nazis and beat the Japanese, even though it was inconvenient. So some of you may think a mask is inconvenient, but nonetheless, it is a critical strategy for our public health victory over the virus. Our delegation did write the Vice President. We're very sensitive to this issue of reagent supply for our testing facilities, because the key in business and the key in our hospitalizations and moving this economy is access to testing in a timely way. We're doing great testing thanks to your leadership, but it's the timeliness. And so we're committed to pressing the Vice President for answers there to be helpful to Arkansas and I think across the state. And this illustrates something I've talked about now for several months, which is we need to use the Defense Production Act where the case warrants it. And that's why I've proposed an amendment to the Defense Production Act called the SAVE Act, which will take medical supplies, pharmaceutical ingredients, compounds, and all related medical devices and put them under that strategy at the President's discretion so that we're not caught Should we use it or not use it? We actually have a written plan to use it where it fits, and I think Governor Hutchinson has given a great example of, again, how it could be used in our country. Final comment, Governor, would be that we're ready to partner with you here in the next few weeks as the Congress reassesses the gaps that's in the CARES Act on how we can benefit Arkansas. And we want you to have more flexibility in the state and local funding that you got, the $1.25 billion, on how you use that, particularly as it relates to broadband. And we're working hard to make sure that we've got the flexibility and financial support for our schools so that we're ready to learn. Thank you and look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Congressman. And before I turn it over for questions, one of the comments that keeps coming back to me is that people are weary of COVID. And I probably identify with that just as much as anyone. And that's a reality of where we are in our country, that we're tired. We've been fighting this battle for close to 5 months. And the most frustrating thing is it's hard to see where the end is going to be. We know the end is going to be when we get a vaccine. But all I can say is that we're in this, and we're in this together, and we need to be patient with each other, patient with leadership, and let's really work together as great as Arkansans in order to beat COVID, to win this battle, and make sure that life can come back to normal and we can continue to grow as a state. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions. Yes.
Do you have any comment on hospital data for coronavirus patients being sent directly to the Trump administration, first bypassing the CDC and the Department of Health and Human Services?
My reaction to that is that why did that happen? What was the necessity for it? And there was a lot more requirements in that flow of information that is some burden on the hospitals as they respond to it. We had a system here that works very well, so I don't really understand all the reasons for it, but we've had a lot of support from the supply of material, PPE, as well as reagents. And so we're in a position that we need to comply to make sure that we continue to get that supply of materials that we desperately need. I do invite Dr. Smith to talk on that topic.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
Yes, I think what's really important is not so much the flow of the data, but what's how it's used. And I would certainly hope that the CDC continues to have access to those data and influences how those data are used. The way that we've been collecting that information is through a data system called the NHSN, which the CDC put up to collect information on a wide variety of hospital-related infections, healthcare-related infections. And it's a very good database. It collects a lot of very useful information, but it wasn't built or targeted to a specific infection like COVID-19. And again, I wasn't involved in those decisions, but if this gets the data more quickly to where it's actionable, then I have no objection to it. But it is important that all those who need to be looking at those data have access to it and can have input on it.
Yes.
Hi, Jeanette with the Log Cabin Democrat. Thank you for being in Conway. Just a couple questions. Does the state have any plans to do comprehensive testing in schools like we saw in the detention centers and nursing homes? And as far as the like notification process, if there's a confirmed positive in a school district, will the parents and staff be notified, and who will be responsible for those notifications?
Let me answer part of that. And in terms of the testing, the contact tracing, that will be done by the Department of Health. And so we actually went through some of those scenarios today with the members of the education leadership here in Conway. And if there is a positive test, then of course the Department of Health will be notified. They'll make the appropriate notifications. We'll try to identify anyone who has been impacted by that through contact tracing. And so that's coordinated with the Department of Health. In terms of the notifications, a lot of these details are still being worked out because we still have about 30 days before the beginning of school. And so they're listening to the local teachers, the local community, as they make some of the specific decisions on how this is going to flow. Dr. Smith, did you want to add anything to that?
Health Secretary Nate Smith again.
I think we have to keep all potential interventions under consideration. At this point, though, logistically that would be very, very challenging. And also, schools are very different than, for example, a correctional facility or a nursing home where people don't go home every day. And so how frequently you would need to do that to actually have benefit, it's difficult to say. Again, we'll look at all available tools, whether it's pooling samples, et cetera, but right now, logistically, it would be perhaps more trouble than it's worth, but we'll keep looking at it.
Jay?
Sticking with education, AEA releasing the results of a survey that they took over the weekend, and it says about 90% of the respondents have serious concerns about going back to school and even, being able to administer some of those social guidelines, distancing, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I guess how do you respond to over 6,000 responding to that and having some very serious concerns about school?
I haven't seen the survey, so I don't know what the questions and all the responses, but I think it's natural that whenever people look at the future and there's any uncertainty, they get nervous about it. So I think it's a natural reaction that there's a lot of questions that parents have, a lot of questions that teachers have, and I encourage them to follow closely what the state plan that's been outlined. I think it gives confidence. There is a level of flexibility to the local school districts, and that's where the second important part of the communication is. The schools have taken their own surveys of parents, and I think if I've got it right, that the survey here had, I believe it was 25% that liked a virtual option, but there was 75% that looked at in-classroom instruction. And that's going to vary between now and the next 30 days. If we continue to make progress on the cases, that's going to increase the comfort level as well. If it goes up, they'll get more nervous. And so pay attention to the plans that are released by the Department of Health as well as the local school district.
And I guess, too, when it comes to kind of piggybacking off this question here about if teachers or faculty get sick, having to quarantine, is that going to be pay time off? Who's actually going to pay that? Or have we gotten to that point yet where we've got to kind of hash out some of those details?
Well, that would...
Following up on that, how do we, I guess, bring people in on a substitute level? And, because I know that's been a problem for a lot of districts in the state as well, just to have a ready number of subs.
The substitutes are managed by the local school district. They will have a supply of substitutes that they can call on. If a teacher has to be positive, has to be quarantined, they get paid through that time. And we have to understand that those things are going to happen during the course of the school year. It's really, in some ways, similar to any workplace. We have people working in the governor's office. We have people working at DHS. And it's work that has to be done. It's important work. We take all the precautions that we can, and that's important in that workplace. It's important in the school environment. And so if there's ways to improve it, we want to listen. And that's what this next 30 days, everybody's listening. Everybody's trying to develop very clear guidelines, which we have. Look at those. And if we need to make adjustments, we will. Yes.
In regards to testing, a little over 80,000 tests as of right now for the month of July, but there's a 200,000 testing goal. What's the plan to try to meet that goal?
Great question, and that's a question I ask myself, because as you can see, and that's sort of the point I'm making, is that the Department of Health lab tests are going up. The ones that are going down is the commercial lab testing, and that's because of the turnaround time, as the congressman addressed. And so what are we going to do about that? That's where we are investing more resources in the Department of Health, that we can have more control over. We can set our own agenda. It's not easy, but that's the strategy to meet that goal and to compensate for the reduction in the commercial labs and their turnaround time. We're going to have to own it more. We're going to have to invest more state dollars to make sure we have the testing capacity. Is there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, Andrew with AP. Have a couple more questions for you on masks. Even before Walmart's announcement today, you had some major retail groups that were calling on governors to enact mask mandates. You obviously have support from the health community, you know, Dr. Patterson here in Arkansas. So given the strong support from the health community and business community, what is the drawback that would outweigh their calls and their support for a mask requirement? And the second question I had is, if not a state requirement, have you given any consideration to changes to the model ordinance in your executive order to allow cities to have an enforcement mechanism or penalties to put some teeth into this requirement?
Well, there is a great benefit with the model ordinance because it gives businesses the tool to remove somebody from the premises that does not follow their guidelines, and that's with law enforcement support. So it is a significant tool there, and in terms of any modifications to it, that's something we're working closely with the Municipal League as to if a city wants to have some modifications to it. They communicate with us and we negotiate it and see what works with our statewide policy. In terms of the future and the possibility of a statewide mandate, yes, there's a lot that are saying we need a statewide mandate. There's a lot that's saying that's an infringement on freedom. The next thing they will say is it's an unenforceable, just like you pointed out, Andrew, and so why have it to begin with? Let's do the encouragement and the education. And so I get it from both directions. I will say that it remains a tool that we can implement as we need it. We're making enormous progress in terms of our education, our usage effort. I think the fact that Walmart went that direction of requiring it with the not just the employees, but also the patrons and customers, I think that indicates that they're seeing the education effort work very well, where it's more acceptable in the public. And so we're moving in the right direction as to whether we need a statewide mandate that'll continue to be evaluated. And if we do it, you'll know about it. Next question remotely.
Yes, Governor, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Governor. Quasi-governmental organizations like Simmons Bank Arena are not eligible for any federal funds, and they're starting to kind of, they're hurting right now. Are there any plans to try to make them eligible for some kind of state funds or any kind of federal funds?
Now, who is it you're asking about whether they're eligible for federal funds?
Quasi-governmental organizations like Simmons Bank Arena, which has had to cancel all of its shows this year.
There's not any specific plans. As the congressman indicated, I'm sure that Congress will look at where any additional federal funds should be allocated. We do have some remaining state funds that we have control over through the CARES Act, and those are not just the Simmons Arena, but you also have the different convention centers that are controlled by municipalities, or as you said, quasi-governmental. Those have been hurt a great deal. We can look at that, but we don't have any specific plan at this point. And one another question remotely, I believe.
Yes, Governor, this is Garrett Ferguson with KNWA, Fox 24 News in Fayetteville. We've had, this is probably a question for Dr. Smith, but we've had a handful of people reach out to us saying that the health unit in Washington County here in Fayetteville did a testing clinic on June 30th. We've had several people reach out to us saying that they have not received their results back yet, and it's now been 15 days since that testing event. What kind of backlog do you have as far as results pending for people, and what is the best avenue to seek out their results?
Do you know who hosted that June 30th clinic?
That was at the Washington County Health Unit in Fayetteville.
Okay. Dr. Smith.
Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
The turnaround time for lab results in our public health lab is 24 or 48 hours. So all those tests that have been collected, if assuming they made it to the lab, those have been resulted. Now, why they didn't receive the results, we'll look into that. I don't have an explanation for that, but there's not a backlog at the public health lab. Those tests have been done, and we'll just have to look at where the communication breakdown was in getting those results. But we'll look at that.
And I'll add, Dr. Smith, and to the questioner, that I did get a report from one of my staff persons who did a test in Northwest Arkansas through the public health lab, and they got it back within 2 days. And so they were pleased with that quick turnaround. With that, is there one final question?
Yes, sir. Tony Linehan with the Sling Courier in Benton. Will the state of Arkansas provide hazard pay to educators, faculty, and substitutes since the state is requiring in-person instruction?
Those issues are handled in terms of pay by the local school districts. In terms of whether they should receive hazard pay or not, that's again, a local school district decision. You look at the unending list of people, whether it's working in grocery stores or whether it is, which is an essential industry, or whether it's working in the Human Development Center, or whether it is working in a bank. There's so many different industries and businesses that come in contact with the public, and everyone could make the same case. And so, again, that's something that the local school district can make judgments on, but I think that would be hard-pressed to say that everybody who's going to come in contact with the public should get hazard pay. That's just a difficult proposition to handle from a fiscal standpoint. And then Jay.
We should get some hazard pay. But in terms of the isolation facility over there by UAMS, I guess what are some of the nuts and bolts on that? Like, who's eligible for that? Where's the funding coming for that? Just kind of et cetera, on some of those things.
Is that the state quarantine facility?
Yes.
That is maintained by the Department of Health. That is for any number of type of people and circumstances that they cannot quarantine in their home for various reasons, or they don't have a home. And so that's a state facility for that purpose. And of course, that's where we utilize some National Guard resources to assist in the personnel with that.
I want to say they are, I guess, does it work with, if they do come to that facility, they are supposed to stay there for 14 days, or is that something that is mandated, or can they kind of come and go as they please in terms of?
No, that would be a quarantine facility, yes. All right, with that, it's great to be here today. Thank everyone for your attention and your continued vigilance. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Today, we heard the state saw 564 additional coronavirus cases. That brought the total number of people in Arkansas who have ever tested positive over the 30,000 mark to 30,297. We saw an additional 13 Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 for a total of 458, and an additional 4 Arkansans who have died from that disease for a total of 335. Again, today's increase of 564 new cases, bringing the state's total number of active cases to 6,439, including 130 residents of nursing homes, 979 inmates of correctional facilities, and 5,330 among the general public. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.